Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust that you've been encouraged, strengthened, built up in the faith, but still looking for a word from the Lord. And I'm going to strive to bring that to you. The burden I have is one that I don't know. As I pondered where it came from, I'm just going to say it's from the Lord. I don't know. Sometimes a preacher starts studying for something, and he starts thinking back, didn't I just preach on that? Or didn't somebody just preach on that sometime? And we don't want to get too repetitious. And so I'm sorry if this is, but I looked through my notes and I couldn't find anything where I preached on it. And so I'm going to feel that the Lord has called me to this passage. But as we think about Christmas this month, and next Sunday is the Sunday before Christmas, and most times people like to hear a Christmas message for that Sunday, and I'm going to leave that open for the brother that's on for that, I believe. But I was pondering about a man that prepared the way for the Lord. That's John the Baptist. And I want to look at him this morning and do a little bit of life study of him. Because as you think about him coming and, well, Luke chapter 1, you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We know this is the account just prior to what we like, the account of Luke chapter 2 of Jesus' birth. And Luke, the beloved physician, is writing. He's taking this down. And he starts out in chapter 1 and he said, this is why I'm doing it. It's because somebody needs to record this. And so it's there. And we have that here. And so he starts out, contrary to what Matthew does, Matthew follows the lineage of Jesus right from the start. I believe I didn't follow that through. I know Matthew for sure is that way. The other ones are not as detailed as to this man, John the Baptist, is what Luke is. And so Luke tries to put it in the kind of a little bit of a time frame there. And so we think here in Luke chapter 1, and we find this account of John the Baptist. And let's read verse 5, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Husband and wife, there we have it. And they were both righteous before God and walking on all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before the Lord in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias saw him. He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And there we have it. The prophesied that there's going to be this child that's born to these two people, this husband and wife, that was well stricken in years, and they were barren. And so let's look a little bit at his lineage of this man, John. His lineage, well, we know his parents. We touched on that, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were of old age. I said that already. They had no children in their old age. But verse 6, we read that, and it says they were both righteous before God. And so we look at this, his parents. Here's these holy parents, these righteous parents, following the commandments blameless. There couldn't be any fault found in their obedience. That's who these two people were. Zacharias was a high priest. Elizabeth was, well, did you catch that there in verse 5? And Zacharias was, of course, of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, the high priest. Lineage. And so we have these two people. And verse 13, as we read that, did you see the promise? The promise that there's going to be a son born. And his name's going to be called John. Thou shalt call his name John. We could have read on down through, but we're not going to do that for sake of time. You know this account, but if you want to read it more, read it this afternoon. It's a good read. The other thing I want to think about of this man John, that was going to be this child that was going to be born, and it stood out to me again, is the fact that his birth was foretold before conception. Maybe there's not a lot of significance there, but I found it significant. I'm not sure if I can tell you what that significance is, other than the fact that Samuel was the same way, Samson was the same way. They're prophets. And so you look at John and you say, he's a prophet. There's no doubt. We also know that if you go into this account of Luke, there was another man whose birth was foretold. That was Jesus. And so, as we think of that parallel, maybe that's the significance of it. This young man, John, as he was born, we know the account that his father, after the angel told him that his wife is going to have a son, and you're supposed to call his name John, and Zacharias said, I don't know his doubt that all went in, but he just seemed to have a little doubt that this could happen. The angel said, you're not going to speak. You're just not going to talk until this child's born. And so that's what happened to him. He came out and he couldn't talk. And after the son was born, the children wanted to call, or the neighbors came in to name this child, and they said, let's call him Zacharias after the father. And the mother said, nope, his name's going to be John. And they said, why? You don't even have a kinder to that name. Verse 62 of chapter 1, and they made signs to the father how he would have him called. What are you going to name this child, this boy? And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Here's this man that couldn't talk, that saw something when he was in that temple there doing his duties as a priest, that couldn't talk. You wonder what happened in there. And all of a sudden, you have this son, and you write on a paper or whatever he wrote on it, said, his name is John, and all of a sudden he could talk again. And what stands out to me as well is the fact of what this father said about his son. And his father, verse 67, his father Zacharias is filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And he goes on to bless and to praise the Lord. Verse 76, and thou child, talking to his son John, a baby. And thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. His father talking, prophesying about his son that was just born. Yeah. The lineage that came. He had a father that was a priest. He had a mother that was a daughter of Aaron. He was a father that prophesied about the future of this son and what he's going to do. And they lived in the desert. We see that in verse 80. And so that's this man, John, that we're going to study this morning. That's his upbringing. That's how he came into this world. That's the work he had to do. And now, we go on. We read in there where he's going to, verse 76, thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Preparing the way for Jesus to come. There's about if you follow it through, if you look at Jesus and John, there's not more than 8 months age difference between them. And so just a little side note there. These two were related, growing up, same age. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 3. I'd like to just look at this man a little bit. He was prophesied that he is going to prepare the way for the Lord. And I think there's the burden I have through this message is that there's something in John and his burden for the people that's for us today. And I want to get to that. But let's just look a little more at who this man John was and how he lived. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, this man that we were talking about, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." Is there significance in this man and his diet he had? Is there significance about who he how he lived? I believe there was. Well, we say his diet was locusts and wild honey. Looked like grasshoppers, or it could have been grasshoppers. I don't know totally what that locust looked like, but let's just say it's grasshoppers. Children, would you like to eat grasshoppers? Okay, we like to try all kinds of things, but that was this man's diet. It's what he ate. Wild honey. We like honey, it's sweet. We just went through studying on the children of Israel. You know, locusts came in as a punishment. I don't know if there's a parallel between that, but let's just ponder that in our minds. John was going to bring a right and a wrong to these people. He's going to set the way straight. He's going to bring judgment. He's going to tell people how it is. He's going to draw a straight path forward. And when you have a straight path that's forward, people find rest in it. When you align yourself with that plan, you find rest, and it's sweet. And it's the wild honey. Could be. Take it or leave it. Well, his garment wore a garment of camel's hair. Wove, I believe. It was a rough, coarse garment. And he had a leather girdle about his loins. So he had this garment on and he bound it with a girdle around the center. Leather. May find it interesting as you think about John the Baptist being dressed this way. Elijah the prophet wore rough garments of hair and a leather girdle. A prophet. My point is this. John was willing to stand out from the supposed religious of the day and be different. And I'm not saying being different is you always need to be different. But his difference said something about him. He said he is a prophet. He's one that's listening to the Lord and what the Lord has for him. And he was willing to look and dress the part of the work he was called to do. He didn't live lavishly. He didn't spend a lot on himself. But he gave of himself, willing to take the rough garments, the uncomfortableness, and live with it. Now in Matthew chapter 3, we were there. We have John coming to these people that were about him. And he is called John the Baptist because he baptized people. And that's the point I have here, is he baptized many people. That's why he's called John the Baptist, because he was baptizing people. Verse 5, and then went out from him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see John, a man charting a course, straight path. He talked to these people. He didn't give any room to them, for them to say, well, surely it doesn't matter over here. No, the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious of the day, came there, and he said, who? He said it this way in verse 7, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, they were God's people, right? No, he could see through it. I don't know. You see, his father, John the Baptist, Zacharias was a priest, but he was a godly man. And he was a man that did not follow after the rest of the priests. I believe he saw that in his parents. And as he was called, and he saw these people, supposed religious of that day coming out, he charted a straight course. So he baptized many people. That's why he's called John the Baptist. Verse 13, we want to read from 13, verse 17. There's another man that this man baptized, and he cometh Jesus, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus came to John, the forerunner, the one that was preparing the way for baptism. He needed it. He wanted it to fulfill all things. But I believe there's something else. John chapter 1, you don't have to turn to this verse if you don't care to, but John chapter 1, I find something building on this thought of Jesus' baptism. John chapter 1, verse 32 and 33 says this, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him, upon Jesus. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This is Jesus. Confirmation of who Jesus was. And so think about that as you go through this Christmas season. He baptized Jesus and John bare that record as he saw that dove descending. Well, John the Baptist's life was all about pointing others to Christ. That's what he lived for. That's what he was here for. I did want us to turn over to John chapter 1. I flipped back again, but John chapter 1, I did want to read a couple verses there for this point. John chapter 1. I'd like to back up from where I read there and read verse 19, through 23. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? In other words, they're asking John the Baptist, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. You see, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, pointing others to Christ. It wasn't about himself. He didn't lift his hand and said, I'm John the Baptist. No. His life was all about pointing others to Christ. I am not the Christ. I'm not that one. There's somebody else coming that's more important than I am. And so he just pointed others on to Christ. And so that was what he did. And so I'd like to now look at the message that John had for the people at that time. A message that's here for us today. A message that we need in our day. Because you see, John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord to come the first time. We need to prepare the way for Christ to come back. He's coming back whether we prepare the way or not. You can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. We're going to turn there now for this next part. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Let's just stand to read these verses. I have 13 verses I want to read here. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of, excuse me for saying these names, I don't know them all, Etura, and the region of Tachonitis, and let's just jump on down to verse 2. The word of the Lord came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. This is the one we're talking about. This is the man. The word of the Lord came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Verse 3, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Remember, that's a parallel verse to what we read before. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abram to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. In verse 14 yet. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. You may be seated. Excuse the scribbles. I pondered whether I was going to do this, and thanks, Sam, for bringing that board out. Sometimes to see what I'm thinking in my mind helps. And so, if this doesn't quite fit what you're thinking about it, feel free to share with me afterwards. But I'm going to share a little bit what I think about John's message, the message he had for all of us. We could say this here line here is the pathway to heaven. To get on that line, you need repentance. That was John's cry the whole way through. You need repentance. We all are sinners. We all are bound for hell. And without repentance, sorry for our sins. What is repentance? Let's maybe look at that. Repentance, I looked it up in the dictionary, is sincere regret or remorse for one's wrongdoing. I don't like where I'm at. And so included in repentance is confession of sins. Included in that is a change of life. Included in that is a change of direction. And included in that is restitution. And so you think about that. We start out. We need repentance. That is the only way to have our sins taken care of. Take it to Jesus. Get our sins cleaned and washed away. And we start on this pathway to heaven. We don't know how long that's going to be for us. Every one of us has a different time. We all have choices to make on the way, though. There's another thing that we all have. We all have crossroads. We all have to make decisions in life. Because Satan, the one that's off here on the side of the crossroad, likes to paint it that we're still on the way to heaven when we're going the other direction. And he makes decisions hard. He likes to trip us up. You see, this repentance is the call that John had for the people. And it's the same for us today. We need to start and follow through. Now, what happens when we fall here? What happens? Say we have a choice in life. And we make a choice and we start down a path away. Can you go this way or that way and get to heaven? No, you can't. Talked to Nelson a little bit before the service, and he said when you're not headed toward heaven, you're headed for the other way, down 180 degrees. And so I'm sorry, my chart doesn't hold that 180 degrees. But you see, one of the concerns I have is because there was religious in that day, there was people that felt they were going to heaven, but they weren't. Because at these crossroads, they made critical decisions that they patted themselves on everything that they did and said, we're on the right way. We're the Christians of the days, and I'm talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. But you know the harsh words that John spoke to them, the harsh words that Jesus spoke to them, because they were not saved and were not on the way to heaven. And I share that because the fact is it's so close, can be so close to us. I can look so right on the outside. I can do everything so right. But if I'm over here, and yes, sometimes in my path over here, I may have a little bump up and I'd say, oh yeah, I'm really starting to feel. If I just bump up a little bit and go again, am I going to heaven? No. Repentance says, when we choose to go over here, we must go back to repentance. We must go back. Now, one more thing. There's a reason I put a dotted line there. Because I'm not sure if you go back to here or whether you go up to here, but I put it up to there. But the reason I put that dotted line is because when you live for self and Satan and you're walking over here, there is always a law of sowing and reaping, getting back. We go immediately back to right standing and traveling to heaven, but there is sowing and reaping that comes along with a life of sin and self. And so, bear with the illustration, but that was John's call to the people. Repentance. Get on the right path. I don't care if you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee. I don't care who you were. John wanted you to come and be baptized. Repentance. Repentance. It's going to bring about a change in your life, a change in your everyday life. You can no longer keep going living for self, sin and self. It must take confession, change of life, change of direction, and restitution. Now, I want to highlight a little bit as we pondered about his message for all. And so his first part of his message was repentance. And the people asked him in this passage here in Luke chapter 3, what shall we do? Common people, what shall we do then? We want to be baptized. We want to have a change of heart. We want to have repented of all our sins. And now what do we do? What do we do? How does that change your life? Verse 10, they asked that. People asked, and the common people, what shall we do then? This is his answer in verse 11. He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. To the common people, just give to those about you. Give what you have. Show that you're made a change of life by the way you give, the way you live with those people around you. And so the next ones come to him, the publicans. And we know them, those self-centered people, you know. They sure padded their own pockets real good. And his message to them was, repent of your self-centeredness. Exact no more than that which is appointed you. Just the people that you meet should know there's a difference in you by your business dealings with them. Get rid of your self-centeredness. And the soldiers in verse 14 is another one that asked him. The soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, what shall we do? And he gave them three things. Guessing these were Roman soldiers, I don't know. He says this to them, don't abuse anyone. In your authority, don't abuse anyone. Do violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely. Make sure that those you're accusing is with right intent. And the last part he gave to them is, be content with your wages. What would you say if John came and said, told you, be content with your wages? I believe his point to these people are, serve those you lead. Serve those who lead. Whether it's in your wages that you receive or how you lead them, just serve. Serve them. And so John was called to that. That was his message as we pondered here. He helped each one as he charted a straight path forward. He helped each one to where they were, to ponder where they're at and to continue to chart a straight course. Let's go on. He did not hesitate to speak the truth. This man, John, we touched on this already. As he charted a straight path, he was not hesitant to call. When he called people to repentance, to point out to right where they were in life, right where they needed the repentance. When in Matthew chapter 3, when he read there about the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, he called them generation of vipers. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter or Mark chapter 6. We find this account of John the Baptist. How far was he willing to take this? To call out and speak the truth. Just how far was he willing to go? Just till he could almost be safe, right? No, it wasn't. Mark chapter 6. Pondered where to start reading there. Start reading verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said, that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that this is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or is one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded, for he is risen from the dead. And then it goes on to tell you why this happened to John. For Herod himself has sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And you know the account. We could keep reading there. John the Baptist, in his calling people to repentance, was not scared to speak the truth. Even when it cost him his own life. I find that hard sometimes to do. Because you see, flesh says we want to be kind to everyone. And we must be kind, but speak the truth in love. You don't get people to repentance without and let them feel comfortable where they're at. You don't get them there. And John did not hesitate to speak the truth, even if it meant him his life. He was willing to serve God and speak the truth, even if it meant being cast into prison. That was John. He was willing to do it. Because Herod had a soul, and Herod had a need, was stood in need of repentance. He stood in need of salvation. Let's go on. Matthew chapter 11. One of the last passages I'll have you turn to here. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to go now to Jesus' words about John, this man, John the Baptist, that we're talking about. And there's so much reading that we should do as we ponder about John the Baptist. I don't want to lose you in this as we look at the life of John the Baptist. But verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they wear soft clothing that are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? And he answers the question, yea, I send you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We're going to stop reading there. What went you out in the wilderness to see? What went you out to see? Question that Jesus asked the people that went out to John the Baptist. What were you looking for? What did you want in life? What drew you out into that wilderness, into that desert place? What's a drawing factor? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you do it? Why'd you go out there? And so that question can fit for us today. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What am I looking to get out of it? I'd like to break what these three comments. A reed shaken with the wind. Sounds pretty unstable. Well, John wasn't stable. I mean, John wasn't unstable is what I meant to say. John was a stable man. And so he wasn't a reed shaken with the wind. John, it was John. He knew what he believed. We studied that already. You couldn't hide behind his teaching because he taught the truth and he charted a straight course. And he was strong. There was no false protection that you could get by John. He held it out to what it was. And he called it out. But what went out to see? There's something else apparently Jesus is saying. A man clothed in soft raiment? Well, that wasn't John the Baptist. Remember what we talked about, children, what he was wearing? Camel's hair? Leather girdle? Nope. He didn't have a soft life. He didn't have the glitter and flash of the Pharisees and Sadducees of that day. What he was doing wasn't to be seen of men. But there must have been something that's drawing these people. What was drawing them out there to him? And we find that in verse 9. A prophet. Yea, a prophet. And more than a prophet. He was a man that preached repentance. A man that cared for each and every one and wanted them to find that path and to walk it. And so that's for us today. A man that pointed to Jesus. A man that pointed forward to Jesus and said, there's one coming that's going to save you from your sins. He's there for you. And he's there for me. Jesus paid that price for you and I. One last passage in closing. We didn't go read the gruesome account of how John the Baptist died. But it was bitterness, greed, that drove that woman to want to see him beheaded. But as you ponder John's preaching and teaching of repentance, Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Which of them did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. What a horrible story. Because these were, John preached to the righteous people of the day. Those that felt they were righteous. But they were on a path over here. There was others, the publicans. Knew they were on a path over here. They went back here. That's the burden of my message this morning. As we look at John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord, may God help us to truly evaluate our lives. My life. Your life. How am I serving the Lord? Am I somehow feeling like the Pharisees and Sadducees that I'm on the way to heaven, but I'm over here? Or is true repentance happening in my life and I have a change of heart and I'm actually going to heaven? Rene Rivera, I've heard this statement about him many times, that you can't help somebody that don't feel like they need help. And that's where I think the Pharisees and Sadducees found themselves. The publicans and sinners were in so need of help because they knew they were over here. As God's people, may God help us to be sincere and true, that what we show on the outside is really where our heart is. Let's kneel for prayer.